Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show starts now.
Back here on the G.I. Jake Show, hour number two starts now. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack, one more hour. Instead of the sit rep today, we're going to do a little bit of trivia presented by Inward Half Golf. Can anyone tell me the three coaches for Tennessee football that have the highest winning percentage in bowl games?
Bowl games?
Yes. Two might surprise you.
I'm going to say Fulmer.
Nope.
No? Okay.
He only won 53%.
Majors.
Nope. You're close. You're in that era.
I'm in that era?
You're
there,
what?
Wasn't many in that era.
Before majors.
Before majors.
Nealand.
No.
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who you got.
Jeremy Pruitt.
No.
1-0. Butch Jones.
I don't even want to say their names.
3-0. And Bill Battle, 4-1. The two losing as coaches, Derek Dooley and Lane Kiffin. Neither one won their bowl game while they were at Tennessee.
Buh.
Yeah, that's about all you can say about
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we won our bowl games.
Man.
We put mountains on helmets and played at a NASCAR track.
I can't get
track.
Myself to say those first names you said. Gump.
Gump. Goodness. That is your short trivia.
We were really good at that one.
What's that?
We were really good at that one.
Hey, it's good edumacation.
I guess.
Good edumacation. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That is brought to you by our friends at Inward Half Golf. Enjoy the walk in with Inward Half. Let's get Roberto in here next. What do you say, Berto?
Good morning, gentlemen. First time he new talkie on the new line. What
yes.
do you think?
I love it.
I miss you, boys. It's good stuff. And I listen in every day. And, you know, some things that I've kind of taken notes on this week, not literal notes, but just mental notes, of how little Masters coverage there has been. To follow up. And I have actually became a Scottie Scheffler fan this weekend. I've never really particularly liked him. I think he's milquetoast. He's very boring. But also, he could not have been more gentlemanly. I think it needs to be spoken into the U-verse. He could not have been more gentlemanly in his win. I want to say how classy he was. I mean, letting his caddy walk out in front of him, giving all the credit to his team, his wife getting credit for hanging in there, all the things. He never once took any credit for himself, and I thought that was pretty cool. Thoughts, guys?
Yeah, he even mentioned, his faith, that one part when he was with his buddies before leaving for the round on Sunday, which
yeah,
was really
I heard
cool.
That too. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's just –
I usually hate when athletes do that. But
yeah.
It seems so genuine. It seems so genuine. I was like,
yeah,
because wow,
it's like whatever
cool.
happens today, I still have this, and it was, and he honestly, I mean, it was almost like blah, but a lot of people picked him to win. He's always the favorite. He's dominant, and he goes out and does what he's supposed to do. It's just, it's clinical what he does, and it's.
Now, that's his second major, correct?
Yeah, he won the Masters.
I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's my question to you guys. I don't know if you guys watch golf at all, and then I promise I'll get off golf. But is he going to win anywhere else? Does his game fit anywhere else?
I mean, his
or is that,
he's
just
the best.
Dominate the Masters and win five of them.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's the best ball striker on tour, so that's number one. I mean, he's going to be the favorite.
It's incredible to watch him strike a golf ball because his feet look like an octopus falling out of a tree.
No, you wouldn't. You don't want to show that video to many golfers, but he is number one in the world. And, I mean, he's playing this weekend, which I thought was surprising. He's gone to the RBC Heritage.
Is he really? Because he said he was going to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I think as far as I know, I think he's playing with Spieth this week. this weekend. So
is this Zurich? Is that what you're saying? I don't know, RBC
Heritage. It's Hilton Head, I think, the tournament. So, I mean, it's probably just...
You say he's playing with Spieth. You mean he's teeing off.
Yeah. They're in the same group, I saw, so...
Yeah, that's what I thought, because the Heritage, the plaid jacket always follows the green jacket, right? So.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's won, like, five or less six tournaments he's entered. I mean, he's just been an absolute chair. Yeah, so...
Well, maybe his wife will go into labor and he'll lose. He won't play this one because he has to withdraw.
Yeah.
But I gained a lot of respect for him. You know, I didn't call in to talk about that. How about these baseballs, guys? How great does it feel to be underserved? Not underserved, but like underappreciated. How in the hell did Kentucky jump all the way over Tennessee from eighth?
That I don't know. That was...
I think it's great. It could not have happened at a better time for Tennessee. Get this team off. See what happens.
Yeah, and they had a midweek loss last week, I think, to like Samford or something. Yeah.
To Samford.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, I don't think it was close. If I remember. Now, they may have made it close at the end.
Yeah, I want to say 10-7.
Samford was blowing them out in like the third inning.
Yeah, it's weird how they do the baseball rankings, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, what's funny is, I guess, because it doesn't affect their RPI as much, because was that not at Samford?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look.
I think Kentucky goes on the road and plays a lot of these midweekers on the road, which is strange to me.
Yeah, I think they won at Louisville last night, maybe.
Did they win that game?
Yeah, 17-13.
Good last night, too.
17-13 was the final.
Okay. Well, they, you know, I mean, that's a football game. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're allegedly a small ball team. We'll see how that works out. They have a smaller stadium. We'll see how that works out. If Tennessee hits home runs, we're winning.
Yeah.
Take it 2 or 3.
Like I said earlier, they're middle of the pack pitching and offense, you know, so they're barely better in LSU statistically.
They're the seventh rated ERA in the country. They're not middle of the pack in pitching.
Oh, really? I thought they were worse than us.
They're third or fourth in the SEC. And after last night, I'm not sure where they fall because they gave up so many runs. Mm-hmm. But let's say they're third or fourth in the SEC, but that still means they're top 10 in the country.
I mean,
they were number 7 entering last night in the country in ERA.
And the top four teams in the country right now are Texas A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee, according to D1 Baseball.
You're talking about overall, not ERA.
Correct.
You mean overall?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. Arky, did they end up losing last night again? Because they were losing badly last night at one point.
They played Texas Tech, I believe. I think they won 9-8. Yeah, they won 9-8.
They came back and won that. They were down like 7-1 at one point.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, 9-8, I'm looking at it right here. Yep.
Well, just shows the power of the SEC. They just say, all right, I'm going to turn it on. But I'm really looking forward to this series. It's going to be a little bit of small ball and pitching and defense versus long ball. A little pitching, not very much defense. Should be interesting to see how this game shakes out or series shakes out. If we take 2 of 3, Tennessee, in my opinion, will obviously still be second in the East, but they take back the driver's seat.
And what, Roberto, are you sticking with Stamos to start Friday, or are you going to go back to Causey?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Personally, yeah. I don't hate the opener thing. Since they started running an opener out there, not just Tennessee, just baseball at large,
yeah.
I've actually thought it was a cool concept, and it's just something I'd never thought about. And I'm a baseball head. Like, this is my thing.
Right.
Right. And I was like, damn, why didn't I think of that? You know? And I guess in high school you had a little bit of it just because you were trying to save arms for big games or whatever, and you'd have a guy pitch one or two. But you never thought of it that way. You just said, okay, you're pitching this because you had two guys that could throw it over the plate, you know?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting concept. And Stamos could have gone longer the other night, I think. I think they pulled him too early. But maybe they were like, all right, second time through, entering third time through. We don't want to blow up, and maybe Causey was the right guy. Causey
is
definitely he's definitely a long relief bullpen guy. And I've said that since day one, and people made fun of me over and over again, and it just proved itself over and over again.
Yeah, because if
he's not a bad pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, you have the potential, like if Russell comes back, to have three guys to have that long kind of relief type, closer type.
Yeah.
With Snead and Russell and Causey, if you wanted to go that route.
Well, and the biggest complaint that we've had with Tony as far as pitching goes over the past few years, really the only one is that he leaves him in too long. And now it's like, are we pulling him too early? But, I mean, if you keep on winning, then obviously the formula is working.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question, just a thought here?
Sure.
Or make a statement and then ask your opinion on it?
Sure.
I have been told from a source, let's say, very close to the situation. You know how that works, right?
Yeah.
that A.J. Russell is about one even twinge of an injury, like, oh, that didn't feel good, away from not pitching here ever again.
So he's probably done for the year then?
He would be – there's – yeah. This okay. person says that we are a – man, that didn't feel right, away from not just for the season, like ever again.
Wow.
Because
that's interesting.
We're on the precipice of Tommy John, and if Tommy John happens,
yeah,
he's probably not coming back. Because remember, he's a true sophomore. I don't know if he's draft eligible or not.
Yeah,
but a team will take a flyer on him even if he doesn't pitch next year in college anywhere. I don't think he wouldn't come back to Tennessee because it's Tennessee. I think it's just, I don't know, I'm not going to waste, after Tommy John, I'm not going to waste pitches in college.
Hey, Roberto, I wanted to ask you about Blake Burke real quick. I feel like his turnaround's been pretty remarkable. He struggled mightily last year, I feel like, for most of the season. And now he's got this, 27-game hitting streak. He's ripping the cover off the
ball. Record as of last night. Yeah. I was worried that he was going to get one at bat or get a walk. I don't know how walks work. If he, let's say he walked three times last night.
Yeah.
Would that have ended the streak? I think it would have, technically.
Yeah, I guess it's not a hit.
I was really worried about that because, I mean, that's kind of the MO of teams like Bellarmine against a guy like that. It's just, like, don't let him beat us. You know,
yeah, and we'll, it's not like he's just getting these bloop. Like, he's hitting, I mean, he's hammering
the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, his turnaround. And we knew he had this potential, but he's really playing himself into, like, a first, second-round draft pick right now.
Yeah, Brett, my thought is, and they've said it, so it's not like Roberto coming with the heat or anything.
This
is an uber hot take. But he's letting the ball travel so much deeper into the zone.
Yeah.
So he and his swing is identical. His swing is the same. It's never changed. He's Ken Griffey Jr. remade. He's got a perfect swing.
Yeah.
Don't ever change that. I have a kid on my softball team. I say the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't ever change that swing. That's perfect. Don't listen to anyone who tells you to change it. Right?
Yeah.
But letting the ball travel deeper and not swinging at every – he's being so much more selective. It has nothing to do with his ability to hit the ball even, I don't think. He is just being so selective, and he's not swinging at every slider that's thrown off his back heel. You know what I mean?
It helps to have Billy Amakitten behind you.
Oh, sure.
That was also a thing. He didn't have that behind him last year.
I don't know. I mean, Zane Denton was okay. He's not Billy Amick. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But Zane Denton was an okay five-hole.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, yeah. And, you know, I don't – do you guys fall base? I mean, like, you put your best hitter. This is what Tony and Elander are telling you, is that Blake Burke is our best overall hitter as well, because he's hitting in the two hole. You always put your best overall hitter in the two hole. And I just think they're doing a whole lot of things right over there. We're one old Curly home run away from having, I believe, seven guys with double digit home runs. That's obscene, y'all.
That is nuts.
Guys, thanks for all the time. I think we go up. Here's a hot take if I don't get to talk to you. I think we're going to go up to Lexington and take at least two of three, if not sweep the series. Mm-hmm. If we sweep the series, freaking game on, and Kentucky actually has a pretty difficult end of their schedule. Take care.
Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. What are y'all laughing at?
We were talking about how we feel about the Masters and who we thought was going to win.
This dude's
You didn't
crazy.
Watch a bit of golf this weekend, Marcus. Don't lie to me.
How dare you?
He's just excited for the Fan Run Open.
I really am. I hear scouts are going to be there looking for new caddies for the pros.
Why are you doing this?
I have to be at my best.
Marcus, real caddies actually have to walk, though. How do you feel about that part of
walking?
Caddying and carrying a bag?
I walk all the time. I'm a pro at walking.
Do you know how heavy these bags are?
You know, I get to show off my strength.
I don't understand that. Why
do
they have to carry such big bags? I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
I have so many sponsors.
Well, it's because we are the backbone of golf.
Are you now?
I love the we.
Well, I mean,
the caddy mindset.
Well, you know, you don't get a caddy unless you go on tour.
Well, you could go caddy. Like, there's, like, local private clubs that, you know, I've worked at one where I was a caddy before. It was a four caddy, though. That's tough. You know what a four caddy is? So we're basically
audience.
Your caddy for the group of four. They're in carts, but you're out in the middle of fairway. You have to watch where all four shots go, and then you have to run around to each one and club and get their distance. And, like, then you get up to the green, and it's rewarding at the end because you get paid fairly. I did this in college when I was in Bristol, and it was rewarding but very taxing. But yeah,
it's a rewarding field, and I'm just glad I get
maybe
to represent
if you do
it.
Well enough, your guys will tip your group will tip you.
You hear that, Houston?
Sam?
Tucker.
How's it going to work, though, since you're blaming them for this chair thing?
Well, Sam is officially off the list.
Because Tucker's on the list,
right? He seemed very remorseful. Houston's not on the list. I do need
to...
But
if he seemed remorseful, then that means that
remorseful's not the right word. When I brought it up to him, he seemed, like, distraught. That's the word I'm looking for.
Distraught.
He also seemed distraught at the issue the chair had. So that, to me, clears his name. You can tell. There's a little Jack. I don't know if you're aware of this. I played some detective games before.
Oh my gosh!
People have little like ticks and little like thing and nuances.
Yeah.
And you can tell when there's a lie behind it. Have you seen that show, Lie to Me? It's pretty good, actually.
If you're looking to your right, you're thinking. If you're looking to your left, you're lying.
There's a few things like that, but each person.
If you
also
lie,
has,
your shoulder moves.
Has little. My shoulders always move.
Wow. Modern day Sherlock Holmes.
But my plan is once I start talking to Tucker and Bear.
Right thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah.
Once I start talking to Bear and Tucker, and if I start feeling like they're lying to me. Why don't you lie? You have it in here.
Get that out of the system during the break. I mean it.
All right. I'm just saying, I didn't think it was going to be that part of the song. I thought it was going to be the main part, but.
That was almost bad.
It's close.
If it's in the system, it's going to be clear. But also, I thought it was going to be later in the song. The actual line. It's like 10 seconds. So I really thought it was going to just be the why you always lie. How was I supposed to know?
Who are we breaking down today, Marcus?
Oh, we got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Texas. The final three.
We already broke down Texas.
You mean A&M.
Oh, yeah, A&M. Yeah, sorry.
That's coming up next. Stay with us. The most controversial segment in all of Fan Run Radio. Mark the Tape with Marcus Young. Coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Radio. Mark the Tape with Marcus Young.
Here on the G.I. Jake Show, it's time for the most controversial segment in all of Fan Run Radio. Mark the Tape with Marcus Young. Marcus.
I think we know who to blame. A man who should not be named.
Bear.
We'll leave it there.
Bear.
Sure. Yeah, we'll blame Bear. That's easy.
Okay.
All I'm going to say is, if you name a folder in here or something, have it be what it's actually named. I'm just saying. Gives me less grief. I'll have a heart attack at 29. So we're breaking down some college teams. I'm going to leave Tennessee last. We're the best. Mm. You got to save the best for last.
Okay.
So we're going to go with the easy one first, shall we?
Sure.
We're going to go Vanderbilt football.
Oh, this will be easy.
You guys keep up with the Vanderbilt Commodores at all? Excited about their season.
A little bit.
I just can't wait till they're relegated.
They went 2-10. We'll have this debate later. They went 2-10 last year, 0-8 in the SEC.
Mm.
Not a lot of faith that they're going to be able to do well this year, but we'll see.
I mean, their SEC record's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Start of the season, they'll play Virginia Tech.
Wow. Loss.
Yeah, it's a loss. But they get Alcorn State afterwards.
Loss.
Fun. No. Do you know who... It's an NFL player that went to that school. Do you know, by any chance, Jack?
Oh, Loki, that sounds familiar.
I love the trivia on the show today.
I'll never pull that out.
Think Titans.
Greatest Titan ever.
Greatest Titan ever?
100%.
Oh, more than Eddie George for you?
He was a co-MVP that year.
Okay.
I got no
idea. He got murdered.
Oh, McNair?
Well, yes. We didn't have to go that far. Yeah. I could have just said Steve McNair right after he said, okay. Then they go to Georgia State.
Loss.
That's a shame.
You think they're losing in that?
You got to go to Georgia
State. They got to win
actually,
one
I'll take
these.
That back. They'll beat Alcorn State. They're not going to beat Georgia
State's
State.
At least probably a pick them. It's at home.
Georgia State's on the road.
Yeah, Georgia State's in Atlanta. That
is I got them winning both those.
Yeah, I do too. To Missouri, loss. Mm-hmm. Then they'll get their break. At home against Alabama.
A close one.
Loss.
Loss. At Kentucky.
Loss.
Loss. Ball State.
That's a win. Ball State's awful.
That's a win. Texas at home. Loss. At Auburn. Loss. Home against South Carolina. Loss. Yeah. Another bye week. At LSU, loss. And then at home versus Tennessee, another loss. I have them winning 3 games.
I'm going 2-10.
I have them winning 3 out of their 4 non-conference games.
I do too.
Round of applause for Vanderbilt. They got one more win than they did the year before, in my mind.
I also got them going 2-10. No, they don't.
Wait, who do you have them losing to?
Georgia State. On the road, man.
Wow. I've got the wrong
wins.
They
have Alcorn State and Bell State as the wins for Vandy.
Yeah.
And Georgia State beating them.
That's crazy. All right, I'm trying to pull up the schedule for
A&M?
Texas A&M. You know, the A&M Aggies are something special.
Their fans are weird.
That's what I mean.
Why are you
Have you ever watched their stuff that they do before games? What do they call it again?
The Midnight Yell.
The Midnight Yell.
I want to know who started that and who thought it was a good idea.
They dress like milkmen.
That's a shame. We don't have any milkmen anymore. Texas A&M starts off their season against Notre Dame. This one's an interesting
loss.
One for me. Because Notre Dame, look.
They always got off to a slow start, but they're not going to this year.
Yeah, Notre Dame is an interesting team because of that specific situation. I think Notre Dame always is going to give up a good fight, especially at the start of the year. So I'm going to give that one to Notre Dame as well. Then they play McNeese. They're going to beat McNeese. They're going to start off 2-0.
1-1.
1-1.
Oh, yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
Boy, my brain went off. I think it was because I was looking at Florida, and I have them beating Florida.
I don't.
At Florida.
Actually, no, I do have them beating Florida. Yes.
I can't.
That's a win. I got them 2-1.
Then they go back home against Bowling Green.
That's a win.
That's a win. Get back to SEC play as they then go against Arkansas.
Win.
Win.
That's a win. Missouri. Now, we've talked about Missouri already. Missouri, I have them going 10-2. So this is going to be a loss for Texas A&M.
Same.
Then they're going to have their bye week as they get ready for Mississippi State.
That's going to be a win.
And it's a win. Then they play LSU.
Loss.
Loss. At South Carolina.
Should be a win.
It should be.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident in that. Going to give it a win. Because South Carolina, even though you're going to South Carolina, I just don't trust them anymore. I think Beamer ball has finally hit its peak, and I think they're on the back end. Another bye week. Then they're going to play New Mexico State at home.
That'd be a win.
That is a win. Then they play Auburn. Late at Auburn.
Loss.
You think a loss?
I think a loss.
This is a win in my book. Again, we talked about Auburn before. This is one of those games I think that Auburn just loses that they shouldn't. They always have one game that year that they lose that they shouldn't. And I think they are going to beat Auburn. Then they're going to play Texas. I'm so excited that this rivalry is back, despite the fact that Texas should shellack them. That's a word, right?
Yeah. Shellack. Them.
I feel that A&M is going to get back into that rivalry, but it's not going to be this year. Texas with the win there. So let me do the
I've got them at 7-5.
Two.
They got some weird bye weeks. A bye week before New Mexico State is just like
It's like I'd play New Mexico State and then take my bye week to get ready for Auburn.
Right.
You're right. I also have them going 7-5.
That just feels like a safe pick.
You got him going 7-5.
I think so. Yeah,
a lot of coin flip games.
There are
big year for Mike.
Wait, no, I think I miscounted. One.
The producer can't even count.
I can't. Two, three, 4. I have him going. Oh, I have 8-4.
Wow.
Weird. And then finally, look. Let's be honest. I was probably going to pick Tennessee to win them all because I want them to win it all. But we're going to break it down. We've talked about Tennessee a few times already, mm-hmm. but let's do it. Tennessee 2024 football schedule starts off with Chattanooga.
Win.
That's going to be a win. NC State Wolfpack in Charlotte.
Win.
That's going to be a win for the Tennessee Volunteers and the Duke Mayo, although I'm going to be very
more and more scared every day about that game.
Is it because of how much I've been awooing?
No.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with the basketball.
They do have a cool logo.
They got a cool logo.
I do like their logo. It's pretty solid.
Cool mascot. I mean, and they're supposed to be pretty solid this year. So it'll be a big.
Yeah, but it is Dave mm-hmm. Doran, right?
True,
here.
Yeah.
Then we have Kent State.
It's a win.
That's going to be a win. At Oklahoma?
Win.
That's a win. At Arkansas after the bye week? That's a win.
Win.
Home against Florida? That's a win.
We are curb stomping them worse than we've ever curb stomped them before. It's going to feel like 1990. In Neyland Stadium that day.
Third Saturday in October against Alabama.
Win.
That is a big-time win. Ain't going to be a last-minute field goal either, boys. Then we get another bye week. Kentucky at home. Win. Homecoming against Mississippi State.
Win.
At Georgia. Two undefeateds, I believe, is what I have for Georgia as well, maybe. Going head-to-head.
Loss.
It will be a loss. At Georgia in Athens. That's a difficult place to play, especially how good they're playing of late. It's not going to be an easy game. Then we go back home against UTEP.
Win.
To Vanderbilt.
Win. Something easily. To be noted about that UTEP game is their new head coach is a guy we played last year.
As a player?
No, as a coach.
Oh.
He's the former head coach of Austin Peay.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
They gave us a good run last year.
That was a lot closer than what it should have been.
Yeah. I was embarrassed to be in that stadium.
Well, that was one of those games, too, in which you look at, and it was like, why are they even in this game?
Yeah.
Like, we're all down at a watch party, and we're just looking at each other like, what in the world is going on here?
Yep.
It's like, that's when we started to get worried about Joe.
Was that the week before Florida, too? Because that, it was just bad vibes.
It did not feel good.
From then on.
But for some reason, I felt like we were just going to go down to the swamp and win. But I should know better because we haven't won there since 2003.
I was one.
I was
a
seven.
Year old. That's awesome.
Seven? Seven. No, was that? No, I was eight. I was eight. Eight. Mm. 11-1. What we got?
Tennessee should easily go 11-1.
Easily. Oh, my gosh.
I don't think easily.
The confidence.
I mean, it's either going to be 10-2 or 11-1.
I said
besides Georgia. Who else on that schedule actually gives you a true fright?
I think NC State, Oklahoma, and Bama are the three games I'm worried about.
So
I think we could win two of them, but I think we could also possibly lose maybe not all three, maybe two of the three.
Well, Jack, I'm going to tell you a story.
What's that?
In the year 2022, it's about a man named Hendon Hooker, another man named Josh Heupel, another man named Jalen Hyatt.
And you know what they did on the third Saturday in October 2 years ago? Tell them, Jake.
Well, I mean, I was going to start before that. You had a three-game gauntlet. You had Florida. You had LSU in Baton Rouge. And then you had Alabama, a team that you had not beaten in 15 years. It was 15 years of misery and mediocrity. Florida, you had only beat one time since 2004. LSU, you hadn't beat since 2001. Hmm. You go into Florida that year, and you knew you weren't back, but you had kicked the door down. Marcus, turn that down.
Sorry, I was trying to be inspirational.
But you kicked the door open when you beat Florida.
Yeah, we did.
Then you go down to LSU, in which everyone's like, oh, it's so hard to win down in Death Valley. It's so hard to win in Baton Rouge. The fans are rowdy. It's going to be loud. It's going to be this. They fumble the opening kickoff. Tennessee recovers, scores immediately, and then goes on to absolutely rout them.
They were leaving in the third quarter.
They were. At one point, I'm pretty sure we were up 40-7.
Mm.
I mean, you want to talk about a shellacking. I didn't expect us to go in and win like that. You weren't all the way back then, but you were staring the Giant straight in the face. Alabama comes to town. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. Jalen Hyatt had the game of his life, 5 touchdowns. Hendon Hooker, ice in his veins, 15 seconds to end 15 years of misery and mediocrity. Throws the ball across the middle to Ramel Keaton. Gets down, calls timeout. And with about 5 seconds left, 6 seconds left, however long it was, he finds Brew McCoy. Double coverage, just goes up, gets it, falls down, calls timeout. One of the most clutch catches that year.
Yep.
One of the most clutch catches that year. And then Chase McGrath kicks the ugliest but the prettiest kick as the ghost of John Ward and the ghost of Johnny Majors carried that ball across the crossbar through the goalpost. Three-game gauntlet. People said they'd be happy to win 2 out of 3. People thought we might only win 1 out of 3.
That's true.
And you won all three.
That was a stacked QB run. Like, that's Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels, and then Bryce Young. Like, that's incredible that we won all three of those.
Oh, and Will Levis. Don't forget him.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Marcus, big Will Levis guy.
I hate him. Sorry, I was trying to be inspirational because, you know, the mood feels like inspirational the way he was talking.
That needs to be a movie. Someone needs to write that. I mean, the script's already written.
We got it.
Hey.
finally, to end my segment, to get back to the debate we had earlier before the end of hour one, game managers in the NFL. A game manager is someone that you expect will not lose the game for you. You don't expect much out of them. I'd throw Baker Mayfield right now. Baker Mayfield was a guy that people just hoped he'd kind of just slide in there, do okay. Nothing special. But he can maybe win you a game here and there, but he's not going to lose it for you. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, those guys are not game managers. Those are guys who take over games. Those are the guys that you are franchise, those guys. Jalen Hurts. Those are the guys that are not just going to be in there to fill in and hope for the best. Hoping for the best is looking at Will Levis. Hoping for the best is looking, as much as I like him, but Brock Purdy. Those guys are game managers. That's what they are. J.J. McCarthy in this upcoming draft, that's a ring below a game manager. He had a stacked team at Michigan. Stacked, right? Probably the best running back they've seen in a long time.
You're not going to get any argument out of me for that.
Great offensive line, some really good receivers, and yet somehow his stats are mediocre at best. Sure, he won a championship. He won some games, sure. But stats-wise, he's mediocre at best. Yet for some reason, the NFL has him projected as a top 10 pick. Why? Because he won a championship? We've seen plenty of Alabama quarterbacks win a championship and do nothing in the NFL. Besides Bryce Young, who's only going to be starting his second year, so he doesn't really count. Can anyone else name a starting Alabama quarterback in the NFL?
Mac Jones.
Is a backup at Jacksonville. So you got Tua.
Tua.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts.
He's Oklahoma now.
He was at Bama, though.
He transferred. He's Oklahoma Sooner.
Okay.
Sorry. I hate to break it to Bama fans. He ain't a Bama no more. But you look at A.J. McCarron won a lot. Not a starter. He's in the XFL. You look at guys like McElroy.
Mac Jones.
Literally, he's a backup. Literally played
to the playoffs.
Two games with the Jets. He was undefeated at Alabama. He was undefeated in high school. He was nothing in the NFL. There are certain quarterbacks who can be game managers, but they can't get it done in the NFL because they're not the guy. Hate to break it to you, J.J. McCarthy's not the guy.
Well, we're going to find out.
A team is going to pick him in the top 10.
Depends on where he goes.
J.J. McCarthy still?
No, I'm just saying we're going to find out. We can't hate on the guy until he's played, Marcus.
I can hate on him all I want. I can hate on whoever I want.
Time out. That is Mark the Tape with Marcus Young, presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Must be 21 and older. Please drink responsibly. Stay with us. G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker. Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
Or unmagical moment is here. It's time for the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker, presented by SM Athletics.
Final segment. segment of the program. It is time for the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker, presented by SM Athletics. We're going to be making playoff bets once again as the Atlanta Hawks and Chicago Bulls do battle, as well as the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers should be. One good one and then one mid one. Brett, let's kick it off.
Okay, I've got the Heat plus 5.5 tonight. You know, it's playoff time, so they always show up. Bulls are going to take down the Hawks tonight. Then I'm also going to go, what did I see? I'm going to go Trae Young. Although they're going to lose, he's going to go over 23.5 points. And then what else did I have? I got Bam going over 17.5 points. And I had one more. I have Tyrese Maxey over 24.5 points tonight.
Don't hate it. Marcus.
Do Jack first. I'm not ready.
Jack.
Let's do it. I got Hawks plus 3. The Hawks-Bulls games are always really close. The battle of the mid. The Sixers, I'm taking 5.5 point spread. I think Terry Rozier's out. That shouldn't be too huge of an issue, but I don't know. I'm liking the Sixers, and low-key like him to make a deep run in the playoffs. I got over 19.5 points for Coby White. Hawks defense is trash. He should be able to cook. Mm-hmm. I actually got under 23.5 for Trae Young. I feel like he's always kind of struggled with him, going up against Alex Caruso and Ayo Dosunmu. It's a tough matchup for him, but he'll still have like 15 assists or something. And then I got over 16.5 points for DeAndre Hunter.
Marcus.
Hello. How many am I supposed to have again? 4 or 5?
5.
Oh, man, this.
Have you really not bet on this show in that long?
Yeah, it's been a while. So, first off, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I got Miami on the money line against the 76ers.
It's just because he wants it to happen.
It's playoff time.
Yeah.
He's scared of who?
He doesn't want to see the Heat. He's
scared of who?
He don't want to see the Heat first round.
You're in trouble now.
Jimmy
Buckets. Who am I scared of?
You're in trouble now.
Because if they win tonight, you don't see him first round.
Jimothy Buckets.
I could see him first round.
You're going to get either the Sixers or the Heat. So you're in a tough round.
Not really.
Why?
Because we always beat the 76ers in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's true. All right.
They can't do nothing against us.
I can't think of a worse first-round matchup for you out of all the teams in the East that you could possibly get.
Then who?
The Sixers or the Heat.
I disagree. I'd take either of them.
You know the Sixers are second-best team in the East, right?
Who?
The Sixers are the second-best team in the East with Embiid.
Sorry, are they the second seed?
That doesn't mean they're not the
best. That's not how
it works.
Are they the second seed?
They're not the second seed. You know why? Because their best player was hurt all the year.
I ain't scared of the 76ers.
Okay.
I ain't scared of the Heat.
Okay.
I'll take either of them. I'm going with the Heat because of playoff Jimmy, and I was trying to support my boy across the way from me.
Oh, you guys doesn't want to play him. That's the thing.
I know.
He doesn't want to play him again.
Play the Heat.
Fine. 76ers. Money line. I switched my bet. Too late now.
Good.
You know what? They're going to cut. You know what?
Bandwagon's too full for Jake.
Let's do an alternate
There's
spread.
There's no room for Marcus.
You're doing an alternate spread on this game. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to win by 40.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
He's got him by 24. Golly.
Jack, write these down.
Fine.
No.
76ers, 5.5. They're going to cover the spread. They're going to beat your Heat. Those losers. You know what else is going to happen?
He's exploded.
I have exploded. Joel Embiid's going for 40 plus. How about that?
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But.
All right. What else are we going to do? Because I'm
Bam guarding him?
Joel Embiid, 10 rebounds plus. And we'll do, we're going to stick with Tyrese Maxey, 8 plus assists. Oh, and then the Chicago Bulls covered spread.
Let's go.
All right. We're going to go Clint Capela over 12.5 rebounds tonight against the Bulls.
Great
but
pick.
The Bulls get the win. I'm going to take them to cover the 3 points, minus 3 on that. We're going to take Bam Adebayo under 10.5 rebounds. It's playoff time. Jimmy Butler over 23.5 points. Mm-hmm. And Miami Heat on the money line. Whoa. Placing those in a parlay. Placing them straight. That's how we're going to play it. That is the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker presented by SM Athletics, where you can get anything you need for your business, for your team, whether it be backpacks, whether it be shirts, whether it be jerseys, hoodies, rain jackets, What else we offer, Brett? Nice little pad folios, nice little pin pads that you can use. The company logo on it. What else do you need, Marcus?
What do I need?
You need pins?
I mean, I'm a, like on the shirt kind of pins or like a clicky-clicky pin?
A clicky-clicky. One that's a writing utensil.
Oh, that kind of pen.
A writing instrument, perhaps.
I mean, I could always use some more pens.
Everybody can always use more pens. We can make it happen for you here at SM Athletics. Check us out online at smathletics.com or give a call today to 865-966-3434. All right. Now that we have derailed the show about as much as we can, we've done everything in our power to keep it on track, but we can't. We do need to bring you an important piece of information because it was rumored yesterday. Actually, it was reported. It wasn't even rumored. It was reported.
Yeah.
That a transfer running back could be coming on campus. That is no longer the case. Oregon State transfer running back Damian Martinez was scheduled to visit Tennessee this weekend, 21st and 22nd. That is no longer happening. Do not expect him to be in Tennessee Orange this fall.
That was an interesting one when it popped up.
It's the way of the portal.
That was an interesting one when it popped up. I mean, we do. There's one position where you're a little nervous about, just with the Seldon injury, it is running back a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Samson, you know, I always like having two guys that can carry the load for you, you know, and I think that's what Heupel likes. So, it would have been interesting to see. I mean, out of the schools he was considering, you'd have to like our chances.
Yep.
You know, but I don't know what happened there.
That's probably, you also have to think about, he knows Cam's going to come back. It's not like Cam's gone for the year. So he's going to be a third string. Like, that's probably what he's thinking. So, yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Well, we had to have reached out to him, so you're concerned a little bit, right? You don't just come to visit because, hey, I want to go check out Tennessee. You have to be involved with the coaches,
I think,
right?
The coaching staff, I think you could ask any coaching staff in the country, hey, is there a chance we can make our room better, period? Yeah, we'll take that opportunity. If there was a high-end quarterback still on the market, I'm sure if they knew that there was some interest between them, they'd consider it because, hey, you always want to make your room better. That's just how college football works. They will have multiple good players at position for as long as they can because they know, hey, depth is good. Hey, someone might get hurt. You never know. You don't want it to happen. But coach speak, hey, any way we can make the room better?
I mean, I think he was going to come in to start.
There's always a way to make the team better.
I don't think so.
He ran for 1,200 yards last year, 9 touchdowns. That's pretty good. Sign me up.
Samson, though, you could tell was the better – especially late.
He was third string. We don't really know, right? We all hoped he'd get in the lineup, but he's coming off being a third string guy.
He's going to be the guy.
Well, but if he had this guy in, I think he'd have been number one guy.
He's getting over 1,000 yards at least.
Well, he should. I hope so. I mean, but I'm saying, like, it's a little concerning that you had to reach out to. He's the top player in the portal too.
I'm not worried.
I mean, Bama made it work for how many years with 3 running backs?
Worried, Brett, over here.
I am worried. We've seen when Nico play one game, and all of a sudden we're automatically 11 wins. Sign me up. You know, like, we don't know.
Tell him, Brett. Tell him.
I mean, how confident are you? I mean, I'm trying to be.
Jake, can I please?
I remember how confident we were in Joe Milton. Jake, I mean, Brett's got a point.
Can I please?
I don't care, Marcus.
You insane individual. How are you going to do this? How do you just let this negativity affect you so much? I don't understand.
What negativity, Marcus?
Negativity.
I don't have negativity. I'm just.
You're saying we haven't
seen
Nico play.
I'm keeping it down here right now.
Keeping it down here.
Yes. You guys are up here.
What's wrong?
I said 10-2. I don't see what's wrong with that.
10-2 losing to Bama.
Yes.
How? Kalen DeBoer is all of a sudden going to be this star coach.
He already is a star coach.
He's
Marcus.
Not a star coach. He had one good year. He had one good year. Is he a star, Jake?
He's won everywhere he's been.
Has he won a title?
He's a top 5 coach in the country. We've already been through this.
Has he won a championship?
Oh, my gosh. Heupel?
Well, no, but he's on his way.
Has any of the coaches besides Smart in the conference won one? Kelly? No.
Yeah, he's not a star coach.
So what are we talking about?
To me, a star is someone who wins.
Okay.
I like winners. Sorry that I like people who can win championships.
Is Mark Richt a
winner? Huh?
Is Mark Richt a winner?
He's a winner in the regular season, but he's not a star coach. He didn't win a national championship, did he?
You said people that win.
I want a national championship.
Celtics got 0 stars on their team.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry?
There it is.
I feel like you're not worried about a lot of things. You're not worried about the Celtics. No. Not worried about the Vols.
Not worried about the Predators either.
History tells us he should be worried about the Celtics, but he's not.
Just a little bit.
History?
Yes, your history.
History? We've got 17 manners.
Jason Tatum and them. I'm not talking about – I know what your history is, Marcus. Your overall history. It's one of the best in the league.
We're not talking about the year my little brother was born in 08, all right? We're talking about now, 2024.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing?
Told you, it's the start of a dynasty. This is also the start of Tennessee making every playoff in college football.
Woo!
Mark that down, Jake.
We're not going to make every playoff.
Well, if it goes to 32 like you said, we should.
Yeah, if it goes 32 like I said, we better be in the playoff every year.
So much negativity.
There's no negativity, Marcus. We're just, again, it's the NCAA tournament talk all over again, right? Like, we've been knocked down so many times. Knocked down last year alone in football.
Well, that was because we didn't have our...
I mean, what did you think the record was going to be before the season started last year? Going into the season, where did you think we were?
11-1.
Okay, because of why? You saw Joe Milton play. You saw Joe Milton play.
Well, no, if you want me to be honest, because I really thought that our system was just quarterback friendly. I thought it didn't matter what quarterback you put in, we were going to win.
So that doesn't worry you, though.
And then it made me realize that, oh, we just had a Greek god of a quarterback in Hendon Hooker, and Joe Milton is not a starting quarterback.
Did Joe Milton or Nico play better in their bowl games? Did Joe Milton play better against 10th ranked Clemson, or did Nico play better this past one? Against
better.
Iowa.
I'd have to watch both tapes again and compare and contrast.
I mean, Nico was sacked 7 times. So, he only ran the ball. He had all rushing touchdowns. So,
he was saving his arm.
I'm just saying.
He was saving his arm.
He wasn't saving his arm.
I was 12-0 last year, Marcus. 12-0 before the season started last year. I think Houston was right there with me on the window doing that show. So, you know, like, I've got to pump the brakes a little bit.
Try to bring
this
the positivity.
Is absolutely ridiculous at this point. This is nothing but pure nonsense.
No, it's not. How?
All of it. It's just.
At least we're not talking about his dang chair anymore. That's nonsense. At least talking about football and realistic expectations is not nonsense.
I'll give you a realistic expectation. Whoever broke that chair is going to feel my wrath.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks, guys. The Herd with Colin Coward coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.